What is the oldest golf tournament in the country? Who is the outstanding mile runner in the world? What, if anything, is known of the origination of basketball? How may a team obtain a sanction in the American Bowling Congress? When any illegal forward pass is thrown, how does the ball become automatically dead? Has anyone ever taken part in 3 no-hitters in a single season? These and other questions have come in the Daily Mail of the Sports Answer Man. Now gazing into his crystal ball of sports facts and figures, and ready to transcribe the answers to your questions about sports, their rules and interpretations, is Frantz Lox, Dean of Baseball Announcers and Sports Commentators.
Greetings, sports fans, and welcome from the Sports Answer Man.
The Sports Answer Man answers your questions, your problems about sports. It may be just checking up on an old or odd record to settle a friendly wager. It may involve the proper interpretation of a football rule, the specific round that ended a title fight, covenants covering the sanctioning of a bowling league, or who won the All-American soccer title. But whatever your sports tickler might be, if you want the answer, want the facts, then mail it to Frantz Lox, the Sports Answer Man in care of this station.
All right, Bob, start swinging.
Swing it is, Frantz, and with the left arm straight, the right wrist cocked. Let's see what you can do with this golf question from Tom Duffy of Lake Chautauqua, New York. He writes, Sports Answer Man, what is the oldest golf tournament in the country?
Well, I presume he means the oldest in the number of consecutive years. And if that is the question, then the answer must be the National Amateur Meet. For the golfers at the turn of the century, for the most part, were almost 100% Simon Pure. It was not until some of the better players started to charge for lessons that the deviation between pro and amateur came up. And like most sports, it was the amateur who argued the professional out of the ranks and forced him to form what is now the Professional Golfers Association of America. Now, if Mr. Duffy meant his question to mean the longest or oldest major golf event in the country, played over the same course, then the answer would have to be the North-South Open, which has been played at Pinehurst, North Carolina, every year over the same course since 1902. Now, bear in mind, there may be other tournaments that are older than those that I have mentioned, but they would be of local or country club nature.
Who is the outstanding mile runner in the world? This is the track question that came in the mail today from Harold L. Allerton of Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Well, that's almost a matter of personal opinion, the way the question has been put. But let's put it in this way. In my time, the track world has seen great distance stars like Nurmi, Ray, and Glenn Cunningham, and more recently, Gil Dobbs and Les McMitchell. Abroad, there are such names as Gunnar Hegg and Anderson that cover the track horizon. But for consistency and championship performance, my opinion would be Glenn Cunningham. When you consider that the Kansas farm boy who started running for the exercise that gave his crippled legs won 6 out of 8 Wanamaker Mile starts, finishing 2nd in the other two, captured 5 out of 8 Baxter Cup events, and 6 out of 8 Columbia Invitationals, you've got to take your hat off to him. And don't forget either that Cunningham was running with some of the best competition of all time, Chuck Fenske and Gene Venske. Others that remain close to the all-time top, undoubtedly, would include the names of Lovelock, Ritola, Lightbody, Hill of Great Britain, and Bashali of Italy, all Olympic champions of the past.
A bowling problem often encountered by new teams, bowlers, and leagues is this one from M.W. Cooper of Little Rock, Arkansas. How may a team obtain a sanction from the American Bowling Congress?
To the ABC code book, where under Section 3 we learn any league consisting of 4 or more teams with a membership of 3 men or more, qualifying under the rules of the Constitution, whose members bowl regularly, either weekly or biweekly, the game of American tenpins, shall be eligible to apply for a regular league sanction, providing all teams and members comprising its membership affiliate with the Congress through the local city association, and pay the necessary ABC and local dues required. Such sanction shall entitle all members thereof to compete for high score awards authorized in Article 12 of the Constitution, provided every ABC requirement has been complied with when a claim for high score award recognition is submitted, and provided that in its application for a sanction, the league has stated that it contemplates holding special contests restricted to its membership and conducted under the rules governing sanctioned leagues or tournament bowling. Such scores as merit high score recognition shall receive the same consideration as those bowled during the regular schedule. What's next?
Benjamin Merriweather of Charlottesville, Virginia, sends in this one on the cage sport. What, if anything, is known of the origination of basketball?
Plenty. Basketball and baseball are perhaps the only 2 All-American originated games in this country today. Basketball, whether the writer knows it or not, is the youngest of all big-time sports. For it was only back in 1891 that Dr. James A. Naismith, an instructor at Springfield College in Massachusetts, came up with the idea of basketball. It happened this way. There was too much idle time for the students between football and baseball seasons. Naismith was asked to design a game that could be played indoors and occupy the time of the men in his physical education class. Naismith complied and came up with the game now known as basketball. Originally, there were 9 men on the side, each permitted to bounce or dribble the ball anywhere on the floor and shoot for the cage, which then was an old peach basket with a bottom cut out. The game has advanced so rapidly that today, an average of over 90 million people watch the game annually.
I've got a baseball problem here, France, that's postcarded from Boise, Idaho. The writer is Harlow Ranney. The card reads, with a runner on second base, the batter hits a line drive which bounces off the pitcher's head and caroms high into foul territory between first and the plate. The catcher takes the ball and throws it to second base. The runner at second has rounded third and doesn't even try to come back. How many are out and why?
Well, when Harry Heilman, the former American League batting champion, asked a similar question on a USO trip abroad, one answer he got was 2 out, the batter and the pitcher. Well, seriously, however, both the runners are out because the man on second left his base before the ball struck the pitcher.
Well, get your pitching arm ready, friends, for Max Harnett of Belleville, Illinois, fires this one out in the flat. When any illegal forward pass is thrown, how does the ball become automatically dead?
Well, according to the rule book, Rule 7, Section 5, and Article 1, we find that the ball becomes automatically dead when the pass strikes the ground or is caught by a player of the passing team. An illegal forward pass is a foul, and as such will offset a foul committed by the defensive team on the same play. In case the passing team commits another foul during the play in which they throw an illegal forward pass, the opponents have choice of penalties. If the team throws an illegal forward pass from behind their own scrimmage line, the rules pertaining to eligibility and interference do apply, and if these rules are violated, the offensive team may elect the penalty for the illegal pass or the other foul.
Another baseball question now. This one from Bill Hannaford of Wilmington, Delaware, who writes, I know Cy Young pitched 3 no-hitters during his time, but has anyone ever taken part in 3 no-hitters in a single season?
Well, it sounds like a tricky question, but in the morgue of sporting news, I found that butterfly ball Jim Tobin participated in 3 no-hit, no-run ball games in 1944. Tobin pitched and won a no-hitter against Brooklyn April 27th of that year. Then he was on the losing end of a no-hitter tossed by lefty Clyde Schaun of Cincinnati on May 15th. Tobin came back on June 22nd and hurled a 7-inning no-hit, no-run game against the Philadelphia Phillies.
Time now for the Did You Know department.
Did you know that George Hooks Wiltz of the old New York Giants won his first 13 games in the major leagues back in 1904? After 13 straight, Wiltz dropped his 14th, 15th, and 16th games. Did you know that the first 700 series ever posted in the ABC tournament came back in 1910, when Tom Haley rolled games of 235, 268, and 201 for a 705 total? He won the singles in all events that year in his hometown. Did you know that 79 players have made 2,000 or more hits in their major league careers during the existence of organized ball, and that 3 teams in major league history have been named for their owners or managers? The Mackman after Connie Mack, the Griffman after Clark Griffith, and the old Cleveland Naps while Napoleon Lajoie was with them.
Today's feature story.
Tony Galindo learned in street brawls how to throw out the left and follow it up with the right. The free-for-all technique of slugging, slugging hard, and slugging first stood the beer barrel, who walks like a man, in good stead. And so when he decided to fight for money instead of fun, he saw no reason to change his style. Oddly enough, the hit and miss was more hit than miss, and it was more effective for Tony against the best of the field and against the fourth raters. Joe Louis clubbed Tony to the canvas, but Tony had the champion on the floor, too, with pokes that had missed some of his lesser foes. The same held true when Galindo met Lou Nova. When the latter was training for a bout with the champion, before the bout, Lou told Newsman that if Tony hit him one solid blow, he ought to be ashamed of himself. Nova lived to be ashamed. The first solid punch that Tony threw at his opponent sent Lou to the mat. He got up gamely, but for the rest of the fight, he wasn't the same Nova. Galindo, during his colorful, if not too successful, ring career, trained on what he liked to call a day-to-day basis. You generally find him while preparing for a fight in the back end of a pool hall within easy reach of a drink, or a long black cigar. His road work usually consisted of a brisk walk from the back of the hall for said drink or said cigar or both. One of the things that gave Tony Galindo whatever success you want to credit him with was his ability to punch up. Max Schmeling was a very good fighter in his day, but he never in his life learned to punch up, and that's the main reason he refused to tackle Primo Carnera. The fat man of the ring liked nothing better than to gather the press about him at his well-laden table in his Orange, New Jersey tavern and announce he was taking his 2-ton beak busters back into the ring for a comeback. He made a habit of coming back about once every year. Tony knew most of the tricks of the ring, those that fell under the rule book and a number that didn't. One night in Philadelphia, Galindo was opposing a fighter named Lorenzo Pack, a heavyweight. Tony really opened his bag of tricks that night, but nothing seemed to work. Finally, when the two were engaged in an exchange, Galindo brought his head up sharply, a beautiful billy goat butt. Pack had his molars apart at the moment, and as the fellow says, it liked to kill him. But those same teeth in the Negro's head were equal to the occasion. Tony suffered a deep gash in the top of his noggin, and when he got back to his dressing room, he marked, "That bum deliberately bit me." Well, everyone to Galindo was a bum, and to a lot of folks, Tony was a bum. But you must admit, the guy had color. And that's my feature story.
Franz Lox, the sports answer man, invites you to send in any and all of your sports questions. Dean of American baseball announcers and sports commentators, Franz Lox covers the sports world from baseball to tennis, from hockey to football. If you've got a sports stickler that's causing an argument, send it to the sports answer man. If you want a rules interpretation, send it to the sports answer man in care of this station. Your answers will be transcribed in the near future. Your announcer has been Bob Ingham.